heated. Wow, I think if we just said amen and went home, we would be a blessed people, huh? Wow, unbelievable. But for us, it's believable. It's believable. I want to share with you about partnering with God outreach. That's our subject for this morning. And real blessed that we can broadcast this teaching and film it, have it on audio, make it available to whomever wants to watch it. Real thankful that our brother Anthony, he always looks forward to watching and looking at the teaching for that Sunday. He's in Kenya, halfway around the world, and he's getting blessed by the word of God that's shared here. So I trust you will too as well. Well, I want you to think about something. And, you know, we've already alluded to this in our prayers and what God said during the manifestations. But I want you to think about who you are in Christ. What do you have in Christ? So help me out here. We have righteousness. I've got righteousness here. What else do we have? We have the mind of Christ. Yes. Oh, we have the love of Christ. Is that all?
Wisdom.
We have the wisdom. Peace of God. Do we have nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do we have the hope of Christ returned? Yes. Does it go on and on? We've got the power of Christ in us. Oh, my goodness. We go on and on and on, don't we? And it's all residence within us. Why would God do such a thing? I think he loves us, huh? We heard that in the manifestations. Man, oh man, he has endued us with so much power, with so much ability. So, but I think he wants us to do something with that. Not just sit on our seat and, ooh, look what I got. You know, it's like the kids at the end of the day on the 25th of Christmas, you know, they're all got all their presents around them and they're just as happy as can be. But for us, we have a sonship right that's called the ministry of reconciliation. And God has given us the word of reconciliation. He has given us the opportunity and privilege of holding forth the words of life. And when you think about that, to share with someone the words of life, to help someone go from eternal death to eternal life, there is nothing greater that you will ever, ever, ever do than to help someone receive the word of truth. And they come from death unto life. Have all the great gifts, right, that we have. All of God's righteousness and his love. So we're going to talk about using the ministry of reconciliation here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. All right, we're on a mission here. God has given each and every one of us a purpose in life. And it's involved with this ministry of reconciliation. So, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to start. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, that's the old English there, the King James, but it's a new creation. Many of you probably in your different translations have a new creation. We are a new creation. It's not like we have a little part of something of God, but we are a new creation. 100% we belong to God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us that ministry. We each and every one of us have that ministry. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It is wholly our job to bring people to salvation, to teach them God's word. You know, I always thought about, well, you know what? God's got some folks up there in heaven that could help him do some things. He's got angels, right? Why doesn't he get these angels out there teaching the word and doing all this stuff? I don't know. But I do know that that's not their job. You do not see them in the word of God holding forth the words of life. You see them helping those who hold forth the words of life. But that's not their job. It's our job. And what a privilege that is. And it's not just a job. It's a privilege. It's a great responsibility. Man, oh man. Fantastic. You know, in the early church, it was all about using this great power of Holy Spirit resident within the born-again one to hold forth the words of life, to help people bring them to the new birth realities. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 5. We're going to see this big time in this record in the book of Acts chapter 5. And we'll start with verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Can you imagine during that time? Let's say you were sick and you were in bed. And then your cousins come in and all of a sudden they grab you and put you out in the middle of the street. That's pretty wild, isn't it? But why did they do that? Aha, let's read on. And laid them in beds and couches that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, why were they into his shadow? You know, they knew Peter had some power. He was functioning. He was using that gift of Holy Spirit, the same power and abilities that each one of us have. Amazing. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, most of them. Every one of them. Wow. Everyone got healed. So if they would have taken me out in the middle of the street in bed sick, what would have happened? Healed. Healed. Man, oh man, what a rejoicing that would bring to the people, right? Verse 17, then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were all filled with excitement and joy because all this great healing's going on. What? These are the religious leaders. They were filled with indignation. They didn't like this at all. Kind of weird, huh? Doesn't make sense. But that's what was happening. They were filled with indignation. And they had their own way of ministering. Verse 18, and laid hands on the apostles. And it wasn't to minister healing either. What did they do to them? Put them in the common prison. And they put them in this prison that must have been dark and no windows. It must have been pretty yucky. And I think we'll see that in a few more verses coming up. Well, what happened? Yeah, verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Hey, that's what got them in the soup the first time. They were holding forth the words of life. But this is what the angel told them. Now, can you imagine, picture in your mind, you're in this deep, dank, ugly old prison, and all of a sudden the doors open up, these angels open, and you walk out. Now, what's going through the minds of the prison guards there? I'm sure there were a bunch of them hanging around. Interesting. Well, let's see if we can find out what happened to them. So, but here's the message that they are encouraging the believers to do. And this is a great axiom for us to do. Go, stand, and what? Speak. Yeah. God gave us this gift of Holy Spirit, all these great abilities and power, so that we would go, stand, and speak the words of this life. Good thing. Well, let's go to verse 21. All right? Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. You know, they didn't go, hey, you know, we got to take some showers here, clean up. This is prison. It's pretty yucky. You know, maybe we'll go in a couple more days. No. What did they do? Early in the morning. They just obeyed. And they went early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't you think the word would have gotten out that these guys are out of prison? Somebody's speaking the word in around the temple area, and the guards are not saying anything. There were no alarms that went off. You know, once something... once that prison door opens, and it's not supposed to be, what goes off? All the alarms go off. Yeah, pretty wild. So, okay, so they got together, sent to the prison to have them brought, and when the officers came and found them not in the prison, man, that's when they found out that they were not in the prison. Pretty wild. Some of the things here, when you see this in God's word and try to picture what's going on, it's pretty amazing. They returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. They were there standing, thinking these guys are in the prison. How did they get out without these guys standing without the door, knowing that they were gone? God, they got to make some movies on these things, don't you think? Man, oh man, pretty exciting. Well, without the doors, and when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, hey, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. What a story. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest that they should be stoned. Wow. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They were teaching Jesus Christ, right? And his shed blood, and they're the ones that caused it to be shed. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, oh, I love this. This is so key. If you could just grab these words the rest of your life and obey. We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, when this life is over, what's going to count in our lives? What we did for the Father. Yeah. Man, oh man. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, please. All right. Wonderful. Chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Now, this work out your own salvation, it's not like, okay, this is how I'm going to get saved. I'm going to say the Ten Commandments five times, and I'm, no. This is talking about performing, doing your salvation, all right? It's demonstrating your salvation. So Demonstrate your salvation. You've been made whole, so show folks who you are in Christ. And how are you going to do it? With fear and trembling. Now, I bet your newer translations don't have fear and trembling. Probably they have with awe and reverence, with great respect, because that's what it means. For it is God which worketh in you. Boy, there's nothing more exciting than to know that God worked in you to do something. You know how you get a little thought and you act on it and some things happen, people come to the word or whatever, and you just know God's working. And it's just a great feeling, isn't it? To know that you are obeying God rather than men. Okay, works both in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not like God's duty has to be done here. No, this is God's good pleasure. This is what he loves to do. And we get to do it too. It becomes our good pleasure too. Pretty fantastic. So, do all things, verse 14, without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do you shine as lights in the world? This is a dark world, isn't it? And to shine as lights in this world, what a privilege. Holding forth, verse 16, the words of life. It's kind of interesting there. In the King James, and I think in most of the translations I checked, holding forth the word of life, singular. And I know I talked with Jan and Barney, you know, what does this mean? It's singular here. And so many times we say the words of life. And the best I understand it at this point, and I'm sure we'll get some better insight maybe down the road, but it's the whole word. It's not part of the word, it's the whole word of life. And it's more than just holding forth, it's living it. The Aramaic really comes out with that thinking that you're living it, you're being it, more than just holding it forth. That's included, but it's living it big time. So, holding forth the words of life that I may what in the day of Christ? Rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, when I look at that verse, I really think about it. And this, I mean, when you really get honest, okay, Christ comes back, and obviously, hopefully I've done something good for him, right? And I don't want to run in vain. All the activities I do now, I don't want it to be in vain. So what would I need to do so it's not in that category? Hold forth the words of life. Yeah, live the word of God. So that's a big deal when you think about it. How long is eternity compared to the time we're on earth here? This is about our time on earth. This is eternity. So, you know, if you're an investor, you would jump all over this verse. What would you be investing in? Doing the work of the Lord? Only for the words of life. Amen. Yeah, that I have not labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, your believing, I rejoice with you all. Hey, if I got to have some tough times moving the word, I love it. That means the devil's upset. I was going to use the P word, but I better not. He's upset. He's going to make it tough. It's not an easy road, but it's the glory road, isn't it? Man, oh man. So we're going to rejoice. For this same cause do you joy. And rejoice with me. We're in this together, guys. And I'm glad that we can do this together. We can work together, bless each other, help each other. Nothing more satisfying than helping someone get born again of God's Spirit. Nothing greater. You may have many accolades in this world. You may have accomplished much in the world's eyes. But the accomplishments in God's eyes that really count is holding forth the words of life, living the word of God. You know, my goal today, you may ask me, Bob, what's our goal today? Why don't you ask me that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. My goal today is to encourage you and help you operate the ministry of reconciliation in your life, to really see that you can do this, that you can hold forth the words of life. You can minister to God's people, and you can minister to not God's people so they become God's people. So I want to challenge you, and I'm going to give you some ammunition here to help you. It's very easy, very easy. But I do want to challenge you to partner with God to reach out and hold forth the words of life. Wouldn't you like to see a few more people here? Oh, yeah, we got to fill this place. But why not? Why not? So, you know, it's the time of giving, right? It's Christmas. So I thought a great Christmas gift to give to God is to win someone for the Lord. Wouldn't he love that? Yeah, yeah. So why don't we give God a present here? I got a slide here. There it is. Reach someone with the words of this life. Now, another question you're going to ask me, Bob, how do I partner with God? I'm glad you asked me. Here we go. Very easy. And here's the first step. Five steps. Number one, realize God gives the increase. He's going to do all the work. I love it. We don't have to do that much. He does all the work. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 7 through 7, I have planted, Apollos watered. Now, what does that mean, planted and watered? Yeah, spoke the word, sowed it out, watered it. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. He sets all this up. He does. And so that's why we do number two, we pray daily about it. You know, I'm going to be honest with you here, and I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you this, but I think most of us have prayer lists. You know, we have things that we pray for. But do you have win someone to the Lord on your list? I thought about, you know, doing this teaching. Do I have it on my? Oh, so I'm putting that on my prayer list. Because who's doing all the work here? God. So, but we need to desire. We need to go to him and ask him, Father, give us someone. Open the door for us to speak the words to someone. He will. Does God answer prayers? Does God want people to get born again and hear the word? That's his good pleasure, right? So put it on your prayer list. Put it right up there at the top, close to the top. And ask God every day, Father, give me someone. Then what do you got to do? Number three, listen. Listen. Boy, we heard that in the manifestations. Jan shared a little bit about listening to God. So we listen to the Father because he's going to tell us. He's going to encourage us. He's going to say, hey, go over here, or you'll be in Starbucks. And he says, sit over at this table here. And you end up talking to somebody. Yeah. So we listen, and then you got to take action, right? Go, stand, speak the words of life. So don't be afraid to speak. Just ask, like what we do on Agape Now, we just ask people, can we pray for you? God bless you. Great to see you today. Anything I can pray for you about? God is good, isn't he? I mean, you know, just simple things like that open doors to get on a subject about the words of life. Amen. Now the next one, number four, is optional. And I had some arguments with my wife on this. This shouldn't be optional. This should be for sure. But I'm putting optional. Participate in outreach activities. What's a good outreach activity that we have available to us today. Agape now. But there's many activities going on. Bert, he goes up to the park, Balboa Park, and they hand out tracts. He's all over the place. Different activities, holding forth the words of life. And I know some of us with our schedules and stuff, it's not like we can take half a day and do something like this. So that's why I made it optional. Because you know what? You can do this wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. You know, I love Al because his Monday fellowship always has new people. There's always new people, either someone from work or a neighbor or something like that. Because what does he do? He witnesses at work. He witnesses to his neighbors. So it's not that hard. Not that hard. Well, let's take a look at number five. Number five, invite people to fellowship. That's not hard. Hey, we got a fellowship Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Monday night, Sunday morning. How would you like to come? You know, we're doing, one resource we're doing is Meetup. And I've shared this with you a little bit, right? Meetup. And just got one recently, a lady named Betty. And she can't come on Wednesdays, she says, but Tuesdays. So I'm praying that she comes over to the Barnhearts and get in touch. So I'll get you that information there. But yeah, we just got to get excited about moving the word again, I think. Because it's the word of life, and it's a joy and rejoicing. Don't you want to have joy and rejoicing in your life? Then hold forth the word. It's so fun. It's great. And I know some of you are, you know, quiet natured. My background, I was very introverted. I mean, I couldn't talk in front of two people, much less a crowd. But God in his mercy and grace, you know, I've been able to grow and learn and share. You know, what I did in the first year, I didn't speak a lot of Bible scriptures. I just invited people to fellowship. And I was thinking about, what did I do? I've been doing this for 50 years. 50 years. So I'll share a little bit of my experiences, but my experiences are my experiences. And I share this only in light of show you that you can have your experiences too, okay? Because you have your unique lifestyle and God's going to work with you in your unique way. I was 20 years old when I got born again. And I was the summer before my junior year in college. So that next year in college, I invited people that I knew to fellowship. And I let the other folks talk to them about scriptures and stuff, which is great. So a number of folks got in the word, got blessed. Then the senior year, I got a little bolder and was able you know, to reach more people. And one of the things that to graduate, I had to take the fifth level of Spanish. You know, so I started 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I stumbled on 2 and 3 a little bit and retook that. And so I had finished 3, and normally you take 4 and 5, but I was going to graduate pretty soon, so I got to finish 5 to graduate. So I skipped 4. Now, that was a step of believing, I'll tell you. Woo! I'm not very good in languages. So I go into class, and I thought, I'm going to find the smartest person in this class, and I'm going to hook up with that person, and I'm going to work with that person and have that person help me. And of course, that person was a girl, and she was very helpful. Guess what? I graduated from, I passed that course. And then I helped her get in the Word. She took a Bible class. She got her boyfriend in the Word, family, on and on it went. But just something simple like that. You know, I just invited her to fellowship. You know, what do you do? Well, I have to do fellowships. And so, come on over. Yeah. That spring, we had finished basketball season, and I hadn't done much holding forth the word, so I was getting a little frustrated. I wasn't seeing results. So you know what I do when I get frustrated? I have to do some activity. So I went to play basketball. Went to the main gym. It was closed. Ugh, I got more frustrated. So I went down to the old gym. The old gym was still there. It was open. There was about 10, 15 people in there. And we got a game up. You know, you choose size. And there happened to be a girl in there, and she was pretty good. She's a good basketball player. So I picked her on my side, and we won all the games. But after we finished and stuff, I said, hey, how would you like to learn more about the Bible? You know, she said, I'm kind of interested. I've been thinking about that lately. Yeah. So you know what she did? She came over and took a Bible class and got born again and all that good stuff. I mean, I hope you're seeing, you just got to get out there and do it in the framework of your lifestyle. But you got to speak, you got to do your part, right? When I came here, after that I graduated, I got into the Marine Corps, went through Quantico training, came to Camp Pendleton, and I was on fire. I was going everywhere to witness the word. I went down to the, I hooked up with a chaplain, and the chaplain wasn't very encouraging. So I, okay, I'm not going to do that. And I went to the brig, and they brought out a bunch of guys in formation. Being an officer, I could get away with some of this. And I said, I'd like to do a Bible fellowship in here. Any of you guys want to come? Nobody said anything. So I didn't do a Bible fellowship in the brig. I went to the base hospital, and I started going to the patients and, you know, praying for people and stuff. Well, the chaplain there found out about it. He called me into his office, and he's a Navy captain. I'm a little boot lieutenant. He said, don't come here. Can you believe that? Don't come here. Well, I followed orders, but I still followed the orders of my Heavenly Father, kept speaking the word. Not too long after that, a couple guys, I'm doing admin work in my office, a couple guys knock on the door, and these two young Marines come in. He says, we're looking for an officer that teaches the Bible. And I said, I'm he. You found me. But I don't know how in the world they knew, because they were on the other side of the base. But, yeah. And they had gathered a big bunch of Marines together. So I went to their barracks, which is a no-no for me to do that, but followed God's orders. And so we had a great fellowship. It helped a lot of those guys get born again and get a knowledge of the word. And one of those was the guy that witnessed to Ken Petty later on. Pretty neat how all these things work. But God's going to work with you. Be patient, but go and stand and speak, huh? Amen. You know, I was talking to Barney about these things. Barney's pretty wise. He's always got great things to say. And because I told him what I was doing here, and he said, you know, he gave me three things I made note of. He said, we shouldn't look at outreach as some separate activity in our life, but it's part of our everyday living. And I think we do that, you know. You know, we're living our life, we're doing this, we're doing that, going to fellowship. Oh, I got to go witnessing. This is a whole nother thing that I'm a little leery of doing. No, make it easy. Just plug it into your everyday life. Just ask someone, want to come to fellowship? Can I pray for you? God is good, isn't he? What do you think of God? Would you like to know more? That's how easy and simple it could be. Good point, Barney. And then he mentioned, don't let the devil keep us away from outreach. He makes it seem like some outlandish activity made for others to do. You know, some great evangelist is the only one that knows how to witness and get people born again. No, we just live it. We've been given If God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, do you think he's going to work with us? Amen. Yes. Yes. And then he reminded me of a great man of God, Dr. Werbel. He said, when the Word of God becomes living and real, there is revival. You know, when the words that you're excited about God's Word, you almost can't help but share it. You're overflowing with it. So, man, oh man, good insight, huh? All right, let's close this up. In conclusion here, what does it take to partner with God? Number one, what? We got to realize that God, he gives the increase. He does all the work. Number two, we are going to pray. Then we're going to listen and speak. An optional, we can go to an outreach activity. And number five, invite people to fellowship. That's it. Our last slide. You are God's best. He has made you his best. He wants you to succeed in life. And that's holding forth the words of life. So stay in touch with him and have fun holding forth God's wonderful word. I sure love you guys. I'm looking forward to seeing great results. All right. Oh. I've got a handout. Because if you're like me, you can't remember all this stuff. So Jeannie and I made these cards. So take one here. If you want to take a couple for your fellowship or somebody else, do that. And this will be a little reminder for you on how to partner with God. Okay, Jan, I'm